from the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community, AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Don't change that station. Live from WGBB 1240 on your dial, Long Island's oldest radio station. It's time for
Listen Up, Jesus Is on the Air.
How's well, that? John, we're here.
Yeah, we are, and there's no telling what's going to happen now that we're here live, and we are going to do today the first Catholic charismatic prayer group on air.
Wow.
Never been done before. And after we finished, it may never be done again.
We're trendsetters, aren't we?
We certainly are. And we have two people here with us who are so good at doing prayer groups. Pat Lannan and Al
Moragas.
And that was Dr. John Palmer, and I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and we're here to tell you we love Jesus.
So listeners, sit back. We're going to a charismatic prayer group meeting, and you are our prayer group. Hit it out. Open it up. We open with songs.
Come Holy Spirit and fill our hearts. Come Holy Spirit and fill our hearts. Come Holy Spirit and fill our hearts, that we may praise the Lord our God. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. 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 Alleluia, alleluia.
Hands up in the air, let's go.
Alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia. Thank you, Jesus, for setting us free. 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 Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia. Thank you, Jesus, for being here. Thank you, Jesus, for being
sitting right in the middle of our studio.
Thank you, Jesus, for being here. Thank you, Jesus, for being here. Alleluia, alleluia.
Are you singing alleluia, out there? Come on.
Alleluia.
You're our prayer group. Get in board.
Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia.
Amen, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for being with us right smack in the dab in the middle of WGBB 1240 AM, the first Catholic charismatic prayer group meeting ever on air anywhere in this whole universe.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's go another song.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord.
Creating me a clean heart.
Okay, we're getting ready for some readings.
Creating me a clean heart, O God, adding all the right spirit within me. Creating me a clean heart, O God, adding all the right spirit within me. And casting out away from your presence, O Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and renew the right spirit within me.
You don't know the words? Hum.
Creating me a clean heart, O God, having all the right spirit within me.
Stay close
to me, O God,
in your presence keep me safe. Fill me with your spirit, renew me. Your salvation is joy. In your wisdom, show the way. Lead me back to you. Teach me.
Creating me a clean heart.
Don't sing, Tony. You'll throw a whole day work on.
Having the right spirit within me.
I'm dancing, though, Tony.
I have a bad reputation with singing.
Creating me a clean heart. Oh, God. Having the right spirit within me. Having the right spirit within me.
And the reason for music, listeners, at the beginning of a prayer group is to empty yourself.
Thank you.
Get rid of everything that's inside of you. You sing along and hopefully have a little fun and invite the spirit in. And Pat, this is your prayer group, so begin it.
Okay, well, welcome everybody to the Light of Christ prayer group. I call especially those of you who are feeling lonely, those of you who feel rejected, those of you who all their life never fit in and felt like they didn't belong. Well, now you do. Now you do. God has always been calling you, and he's calling you right now to listen to him, to listen to him that you are worthy, you are lovable, you are acceptable by him because he created you. So, Lord God, we ask you today to bless this time we spend together, and to open the hearts of all those out there who are hurting, who feel that there's no one to go to, that no one loves them, that they're nothing, they're junk. Touch their hearts right now, Lord God, and let them know that they're made in your image and that they are precious. And no matter what they go through, no matter where they come from, that they're precious in your eyes and that you walk with them and you lead them no matter what they go through. So we just thank you, Father. We thank you, Son.
Thank
we
you,
thank
Jesus.
You, Holy Spirit.
Thank you for being
and we
here.
Thank you, Mother Mary. Those of you who don't have a mother to mother you, we have Mary. She mothers all of us. She puts her arms around us and embraces us through our dark times. She's always there with us. She's always interceding for us. And we just thank you. We bless all our listeners. Bless everyone here and just pour your Holy Spirit on us. Set us on fire with your love. Thank you. Thank you.
And sometimes in prayer meetings, people pray in tongues. If you have the gift of tongues, you just pray. You let your tongues go. And that's another way of surrendering to God, surrendering to the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have the gift of tongues, you just pray and say, come, Lord Jesus, like Pat said, come, Lord Jesus, enter our hearts, fill us with your love, empower us, enable us, Lord, to relax and let your spirit in. We're so happy that we're at this prayer group meeting, Lord. Thank
you.
This is what it is. This is the way we work. This is the way we are.
Praise and honor to you.
Tony?
And John, you know, one of the important functions of a prayer group is that we know that Jesus is there amongst us in these prayer groups, because Jesus has said, when two or more are there in my name, I'm there amongst you. So when we hallelujah and we give petitions and praise and glory, we're giving it to Jesus himself personally. right in front of us.
And you know, people put their hands up when they're praying and inviting the Spirit in. And somebody said to me, why? Why do you have to put your hands up? You look like idiots with your hands up in the air. And we say, well, your hands are like the antenna. And you put your antenna up so the Spirit can make contact with you. That's all. And it's another form of surrender, giving in to God and letting Him take over. It's delightful. So what do you do next in your prayer group, Pat?
Okay, well, we do one more song. Okay.
What a friend you have in Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
Don't sing, Palmer. Give me my money back.
Oh, our sins and griefs to bear.
You know the words, sing along at home.
What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, we often forfeit, oh, what needless pain to bear, oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Heavy trials and temptations, is there trouble anywhere? Grief should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
And that music is so important. And now what a nice song to sing. That Jesus knows everything, and we take it to Him in prayer.
Now, Palmer, I just want you to know a little tidbit. This is the first time I think Al is using this brand new guitar.
Amen.
Yes.
And he saved it for our radio show.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Al.
It's so beautiful, Al.
And
congratulations.
You know, and the music ministry is so important to any prayer group because it just brings the Spirit. The Spirit sings to your hearts.
It's the foundation of the prayer group.
When you sing, you pray twice.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
With this guitar, you sing three times.
Because it's an expensive guitar.
And Pat, what do you do next?
This guitar is played by Tommy Emmanuel, one of the best players. Ever.
Ah, wonderful.
Amen.
What do you do next now, Pat?
Well, now I invite members of the prayer group, if they have a reading, if God touches their heart to read it, or if they have a testimony. And as always, I remind them with the testimony to remember their ABCs, make it accurate, brief, and Christ-centered.
And read, and listeners, just for you to be aware, Tony, Pat, and I are going to be those who we'll read scripture. We're playing scripture roulette, and we're just going to let the Spirit lead us to scripture. So, Tony, you're on first.
And this was invented by Dr. John Palmer, by the way. And I pleasurize it all the time.
Well, Holy Spirit, lead us.
Okay. Oh, I turned to the page on healing, and the first paragraph that I got was, "The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. the prayer of the righteous man is powerful and effective. And that was James 5:15.
And I have the word inside of me, even before I came here today, that while we're doing a prayer service, it's also a healing service. And that's really, the Spirit's confirming it.
And I have to tell you, this last sentence is so hits home. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And that's the prayer group. When they pray for you, wow!
And that's why you go to a group. So you all can offer yourselves to God, and that power, that unity in prayer takes over. And if you have garbage and the person next to you doesn't, well, their prayer will help clean out your garbage.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And you don't give your garbage to them. You don't do that.
This is an amazing game.
Yeah,
this is
you're second. Pat? Now, we must say that Pat cheated, but that's all right.
Well, we caught it, but we changed it.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
I'm not cheating.
She's doing it,
I'm not cheating. I just opened up the book. So.
Okay.
Jesus said, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." That's by John 14:21. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And usually in a prayer group, when people are sharing scripture, the Spirit is teaching so that the scripture that's unfolding is a teaching from the Holy Spirit.
And John, what did Jesus say? His two main commandments are, love one another as I love you.
Love your neighbor as yourself. And you know, Tony, I look at you and I really have a hard
time
with that
second
one. I do fine with the first one. But when I look at you, how can I love him as I love myself? Oh my God, what am I going to do?
You're such so mean.
All right, it's my
turn. I love you no matter what, Palmer. I love you.
Hey, I heard that one before. You say that to all the guys. Oops. And I open to grace. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Wow. Wow. Look at the power in those words. Look at the power in those words. Think about it, listeners. If you open yourself to God, his power will abound in you.
So what's he saying? He's saying, my grace is sufficient to handle anything for you.
Yeah, and that's so hard. It's so hard to surrender. You got to surrender. You know, I've been praying for years, and every night, last night, I'm waking up in the middle of the night with all my junk coming loud and clear in my head. And I'm saying, Lord, I'm surrendering, but the junk wouldn't go away. It didn't go away until I went to Mass this morning and received Jesus in the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. And then it left. But you know, that's it. Even though you say verbally, I surrender, it has to be internal. It has to be your heart. Pat, do you have anything that you want to add in terms of testimony?
You said the word grace, and I just have to give this brief testimony. I had a dog 5 years ago. She was put down. She was 17 and a half years old. She was a West Highland Terrier. All you out there who love animals, you know how painful it can be. And I've been praying and praying for another dog, another Westie, a West Highland Terrier, and my husband was not ready, and he kept saying, no, 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 not the right time, so we kind of let it go. But you have that aching in your heart. You have that brokenness inside and that emptiness. So last week at our festival at St. Catherine's, a friend of my husband's, dropped this dog over my house. And when I came home, I had been at an appointment in Manhasset. And when I came home Saturday, I see this little dog sitting on my rug. And I'll get to the reason why I'm saying grace. But anyway, she was a rescue, and she was not treated well. She was matted and had scabs from fleas, whatever. I won't go into specific details, but she was not cared for. She was not loved. And the first thing I looked at her wasn't love at first sight. It was like, well, I wanted a Westie. You know, that's my own being. But anyway, the second look, I fell in love with her. And we took her to our vet. And our vet is Jewish, that we had from Mafina, our old dog. And I said, you know, is this going to be a big bill that we're going to have to maintain her? You know, she's got skin issues. She wasn't spayed. There's a lot of things that have to be done. You know, I said, what should we do? And he looked at me and he goes, do a mitzvah. And I said, what's a mitzvah? And he said, well, in Jewish, we call that a good deed above and beyond. He said, the more mitzvahs you do, that's how you get to heaven. So that was my answer. He said, well, do you want me to, you know, vaccinate her? You want to think about it? I said, you know what? Do it. She's ours. Now, P.S. with the grace, her name was Chloe, and I didn't like Chloe, but I figured, let me keep the E at the end, so I named her Gracie. So that's why when you said grace, I knew that I had to give the testimony on her. And, you know, God gives us these beautiful creatures to help us learn, to learn about love, to learn about simple things in life and appreciate the simple things. So I'm just so blessed to have her, and I just thank God for that. So that wasn't the testimony I was going to give, but when you said grace, it just touched that part of my heart.
Well, he put a one on my head, into my heart to be spoken of. I listen a lot, and I write what God tells me, right? And the other day, he tells me, ignorance is bliss. Therefore, John, you must be the most blissful person in the whole world. And I said, no, that's not a very nice thing for you to be saying to me, Lord. He said, actually, it's a compliment, because the ignorance that you have is that you surrender totally with your heart to me, and you don't know what I'm doing. And because you do that, I give you bliss. Isn't that neat?
Yeah, and to go further, John, that is a compliment, because that's a childlike innocence that he's talking to you about.
Yeah.
And that's what he's looking for in all of us, a childlike innocence.
And he also,
I'm not sure how innocent you really are, but that's what he's looking
but childlike
for.
But, you know, he also said to me one time, I want you to be childlike, not childish. And I said, well, what does that mean, Lord?
Good advice.
And he said, well, a childish person just does silly, stupid things and asks Daddy, please do. He said, but a childlike person will still ask for help, but will realize that he has to act on his own. So childlike means the faith, the heart of a child, but the actions of a mature person. And, you know, these kinds of lessons come all the time in prayer groups and in private prayer. And what happens when people come into a prayer group and they share testimony about loving the dog, about being blissful, about surrendering, doing a mitzvah, all these kinds of things. Al coming with his new guitar and praying for us, and Tony thankfully not singing. You know, all these things are all part of the lesson of the prayer moment. Now you at home, if you're there, and you're wondering what God is telling you, just do what we did. Pick up a Bible, open it randomly, and let him start talking to you that way. And if you don't have a Bible handy, then just be still and let him come alive in you, because he will. And he can't wait to do that. Trevor, we're going to put on song number 3, because Tony is going to do our teaching in our prayer group. And
oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Okay.
Tony, you go ahead and teach us.
Well.
We'll be quiet. Wait a minute. Shh. Everybody out there in the audience, everybody, now sit down and pay attention. Here comes our teacher.
I'm going to talk about Thomas More. How's that, Palmer?
Thomas More.
St. Thomas More. And why do I really want to talk about St. Thomas More? He's the patron saint of lawyers. I can't say I'm 100% in favor of lawyers, that I love them that much, but that's not why I chose St. Thomas More. I chose him because I felt he's a Renaissance saint. He's the saint of today's times. He's the saint that refused to be part of the silent majority during King Henry VIII's time. He refused to give up his religious rights, and he refused to have the church bow down to the king. So, and also, he reminded me of John the Baptist, who spoke out to the king. And, like Thomas More, refused to accept both kings marrying a woman that was previously married and spoke out against it. And they both lost their heads for it. So,
jeez, wait a minute. I got to think about that. I'm not so sure I want to follow Thomas More.
But, so the story goes. But it's easy. You just have to say that you agree with the king. And it'll all be over. And that was the advice that Thomas More's daughter Margaret gave him as he was sitting in prison. She was in her 20s, and she pleaded with her father, please, please, just agree, and it's gone, you're out. Margaret, my dear, it's not easy, he replied. Thomas More had been a writer, a lawyer. He'd been a member of the parliament and a judge, and was famous for being a very fair judge. King Henry VIII had chosen him as one of his advisors on his board and went to him for advice constantly. Thomas was not only popular, he had become very powerful. But within a few years, he resigned as Lord Chancellor, and there was every chance he would be sent to prison because he refused to accept King Henry VIII's decision to divorce or get rid of his first wife and to marry another woman. And Henry VIII wanted his blessing so badly. And that Henry VIII decided that he was going to change the church. He was going to change the rules of the game of the Catholic Church. He was going to be the head of the church. No longer would the Pope be the head of the church. And he was going to allow divorce, and he was going to allow marriages and things of that nature. But he still very much wanted to have a son so he could make him king, and that's why he was going through all this. He had a daughter named Mary, but no sons. And now the doctors said his wife, Queen Catherine, could not have any more children. So that's what made Henry VIII decide to get rid of Catherine. Henry then married another woman named Anne. The Pope, who in those days was the head of the church, the whole church, said this was wrong. So too did Thomas More. It was then that he resigned as chancellor because he believed that the king was doing wrong. He also refused to go along with the changes that the king wanted to make in the Catholic Church. No, those changes are not right. They are not ordained by our Pope. And no laity can come and make changes and make will for our Catholic religion.
Does that sound familiar?
Oh, it sounds very familiar.
Is there something like that going on right now?
Oh, and so thus, that's why I was given Thomas More.
Yeah.
And so he stuck to his guns. 2 years later, the Pope still said that Anne was not truly Henry's wife, King Henry's wife. So Henry persuaded Parliament to make a law saying that in England, he himself and not the Pope was the head of the church. Wow. And that Anne was the legal wife for her children, and they would be the ruler after him. Henry wanted all the important people in the country to swear by the Holy Bible that this was true and right. So of course, Thomas was asked to swear to the Holy Oath. When he said he wouldn't, the king became angry. What's more, he didn't want someone as popular as Thomas standing up against him. So he wanted Thomas out of the way, which was why Margaret was now trying to persuade her father to say the oath, Margaret, his daughter. It's easy, she said to her father. It's just a few words. Say anything. It'll save you. But it's very wrong to say what's not true is true, her father insisted. Nothing he would say could persuade him to take the oath. So time later, He was locked up in a cold, dark, damp cell in the Tower of London. Friends came to see him and tried to convince him to say the oath. They too tried to change his mind. If you swear the oath, you can go free. Thomas kept silent. A year later, after being put in prison, Thomas was charged with being a traitor to the king and the country, and that's known as treason. The punishment for treason is execution. He still refused the oath. He was taken to court and found guilty. Later, he was beheaded, and his head was stuck on a post in the square on London Bridge. He could have saved himself, but he didn't. It was a matter of conscience, and Thomas More kept true to his conscience and to his religion and to his God, even with giving up his life.
You know, you remind me of the movie that's going around, To the Glory, which
to
is
the, glory,
the,
yes.
The story of the problems with Mexico, with the Catholic Church.
Absolutely.
Where they closed them down. And a little boy in the movie stuck to his guns, even with his father pleading him, it's just a few words.
Absolutely.
He wouldn't do it, and the boy was killed. You know, we're talking about heavy stuff in terms of standing up for your faith, and you only get that ability to do that from being open to prayer to God, but also through the unity of others in a prayer group.
Yes.
That you can stand up and proclaim Jesus is Lord, and there is no
other. Our God
other.
Is King, and there is
freedom,
no other.
Freedom is God-given and not state-given, which I think is a question that we're facing in our own country
yes.
right now.
And most importantly, the silent majority cannot stay silent.
You got to exercise your power at the ballot box.
Last week we visited the French Revolution, and we saw through the French Revolution how the Catholic Church was attacked,
yeah.
and how priests were led to the guillotine,
yeah.
and how they were attacked, and just people, all the churches were closed. There was yeah. no church to be found.
Yeah. yeah. That's why we've just completed 14 days of prayer for freedom.
Yes.
One night of prayer for freedom, so that people all over our country would pray that religious freedom remain a part and parcel of what our founding fathers wanted.
Yes.
So important. Now, I don't want to get too heavy because we can put our listeners to
sleep. Yes, but how was this lesson, Palmer?
Excellent.
And this was unprepared.
I know. Well, you do better when you're not prepared.
Okay.
You know, I wanted to ask a couple of questions of Pat and Al, as part of teaching, if you want. And we're going to start with you, Al. When you play the music at the prayer group, now you've been doing this for how many years?
Let's say 40 years.
Oh, you're 40. Not that old. Come on, Al. Don't fool us.
Yes, I'm 41.
First baby born with a guitar in his head. But Al, you know, what happens? Has the music influenced you in your life?
That's what happened. The music brought me back to church.
Ah.
Uh-huh.
Actually, it was my wife. Say, come to church. Come to church. You never come with me. So one day I went to church, and there was the youth group singing. And up there, guitars, electric guitars, drums. And I listened. I said, that's right for me. So I went back again. Because I really liked the music. And then from the music, I learned to love God.
Wow. Mm.
So the music brought me back to church.
And you know, when you play that music, especially when we're praying for healing, it really is amazing. If I'm praying for someone and you're playing and singing, a song, what you're saying in the song is what that person needs to hear. And I tell them, listen to the words of that song. Spirit's talking to you. And that's how important that music ministry is. It's really the heart of a prayer group meeting. And we're so glad that you could have time to be with us today.
No problem.
And
really special. Anytime.
And you saved your new guitar for us. That's so special, Al. Thank you.
Meeting.
Pat,
can publicize.
What has the prayer group meant to you? What have you gotten out of being a leader? Now, you've been a leader for, 8 years or so?
More. I really don't know. It's over 10 years. Over 10 years.
And what's happened as part of being a leader for you?
I think it's helped me to grow. You know, people think I give them. I get so much back. It's helped me to really trust on God. On God only, that's one of the biggest lessons in my life, because I tend to trust people and look for people to help me and to guide me. And yes, God puts those people in your life, but they are not God. There's only one God. And in my journaling, which I journal not that often, but every time I journal, he always tells me, I am your healer. I will heal you. Look to me. Do not look to others for the approval. Look only to my approval. So that's been a hard lesson, because when I was younger, I had people take care of me. My mom didn't know how to take care of me. And not to put her down, I'm not doing anything like that. I'm just saying, as a child, I had other people take care of me, and I grew up that way. So as an adult, I continued to look for other people to take care of me. But God has continually told me, stand on your own two feet. I am in you. And as long as I am in you, you can do anything. And there's part of me that still doesn't believe that. Well, you know, I doubt it. But, you know, I try to trust. I try to surrender. I mean, we have to surrender every day, every hour. We have to surrender, and say, Lord, I know you're taking care of me. I know you're taking care of my situation. Those of you out there that have situations that are not getting any better, and you're discouraged, and you just want to give up, don't give up. Don't ever give up. God is always with you. And sometimes it's just when you're about to give up that something will turn around. So I reach out to you from someone that knows about giving up. Don't give up. Trust in God. All the youth, they're out there trying drugs and they're seeking. What do they want? They want approval. They want God's love. That's what we all want. So I ask you to open up your heart to him. Even though you don't see things changing, even though your eyes tell you it's not going to happen, believe that God can make miracles happen. He does every day. So I love the prayer group. I get so much out of the prayer group. And it's about prayer. It's about people going through hard times, knowing that somebody else is there praying for them. They are not alone. You are not alone. And we're connected with brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. We're all together. We're all brothers and sisters. And it's so special. And it's confidential. Things that are said in the prayer group are kept there. We look out for one another. If someone's not there, we call them and try to find out what happened. It's just a wonderful thing, and we can't take that for granted. And I always say we are so blessed to be able to meet every Monday night at 8:15 in the Siena Center. Those of you listeners out there, you're all welcome, St. Catherine of Siena in the chapel. And it's just wonderful that it's free. We have the freedom to meet there. We have the freedom to say what's in our heart. It's just unbelievable, unbelievable.
And that's why we're doing this, listeners, so you get a sense of the power of being together in a group. You know, we can all be do-it-aloners, but when you start doing it alone, you lose God. And when you come back to the prayer group, you get God. Tony, how about you? What have prayer groups done for you?
Well, I have one found and die-hard love for prayer groups, and that's when prayers are needed. Those members of the prayer groups go into action. And I mean action. I'm talking about not only the Light of Christ prayer group. I'm talking about the Intercessors prayer group. I'm talking about all prayer groups. When someone needs prayers, wow, there's a telephone chain that starts immediately. And they're calling one another. And they don't have to be in that group to pray. I mean, they're calling on the phone and they're praying for that person that needs prayers. And when they meet in the group, they're praying. And it's so powerful. So powerful. I've seen it. I've seen it work. I've seen the prayers being answered. All because they're all praying with faith and love.
And they let go.
And they let go.
And they let go and they go to God.
And that's the ultimate power of a prayer group. It's a whole bunch of people that believe and love Jesus and love God, that are on your side and praying for you.
And, you know, people look at them saying, you know, what's the matter with these people? They're all nuts, you know. Somebody asked me one time, does the bishop think that the charismatic prayer people are crazy? And I said, I don't know, but he put a psychologist in charge.
Yeah, but the only problem is that psychologist.
He's crazier than all of them.
But that psychologist dances on the table during the prayer group. There's something going on here.
You know, you got to, but you know, and it's so important. And I just want to reinforce, check your parish bulletin. Find out when the prayer group is going to meet in your parish. Come out and join it. And then it's always social time afterwards.
Fellowship.
I used to call the prayer groups Our Lady of Entenmann's because it was...
Palmer, you're so funny, Palmer.
Can't they be an Our Lady of Entenmann's? Why
then
not?
You wonder
we
why
have
I
Our Lady
copy,
of everything.
I copy everything you say. You're so funny.
Well, you know... I don't know if you have anything else you want to add about what prayer groups do for you guys. You know, I'd almost be tempted to ask Trevor because he's sitting in the other room. And Trevor, you run a prayer group. Can I ask you what happens when you run your prayer group? Now, you didn't expect to talk, but you can come on the microphone. You know how to do it. Come on, we're putting you on the spot. Yeah, there he goes.
I don't have a headset, but I'll try to listen.
Okay.
My prayer group, we meets every Wednesday night. And sometimes
where?
We have...
Where?
At our church, in One Way Church of Christ in Jamaica, Queens. Mm. And we pray for maybe an hour or so. And sometimes we put a song on, which is deals with healing. And sometimes the Holy Spirit takes over, and we have a good time.
And I'm glad you mentioned a song for healing because that's where we're going next. But this time, Al is going to play in the background. Thank you, Trevor. You know, I always like to involve you. You can't be just sitting there listening. You got to work. You what?
With my new maiden.
With your new
guitar.
New guitar. Maiden. But, you know, praying for healing is an important part of the prayer group meeting. Totally important part because... people are coming with all their trials and troubles. And we ask Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, now in our prayer meeting on time, online, on the radio, come, Lord Jesus, lay your hands gently on our listeners. Touch them now, Lord. Speak to their hearts. Either through the words you give us or just by being present to them. And I'm hearing, my friends, I am here with you right at this very moment. You may or may not believe it, but I am Jesus the Messiah speaking through the heart of a surrendered friend, saying to you, I know the pain you have. I know what's going on in your heart. And I alone know how to solve that problem. I'm so glad you listened to this radio show. I'm so glad you took time to open your heart to me, just to be with me for a few moments, so that in this quiet time, with Al playing in the background and the others holding hands in prayer, I say to you, O ye who are down and despairing, I give you the gift of hope. Oh, you who somehow feels lost and abandoned, I come to you right now and I touch you. I touch you with my presence in you. Feel my peace. Know that I am truly here right at this moment in your living room or in your car and certainly in this studio. And I'm touching you and I'm saying, I Jesus, the Messiah, am here. I am here for you right now, and I'm touching you right now. Let me in. Let me in. Let me in. Those with broken hearts from broken relationships, let me touch you. Let me give you my love so that you know our relationship in love can never, ever be broken. You have come to me, and I will never let you go away empty-hearted. I just won't do that. And you're sitting quietly in your home, or maybe driving in the car. Let your thoughts run to where you felt most loved in your life. And allow yourself to be wrapped in that love. That's human love. And I tell you, my love is 100 times more powerful than that human hug. And so now, in this quiet time, over a radio station that's going throughout all of Long Island, I give you my heavenly hug. I touch you so deeply that there's no way for you to deny that you are being touched by me. Not that you would want to. So, dear friends, in these few moments that we are together in love, you are doing what Tony said earlier. Love me, God, with your whole heart, your whole soul, and your whole mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. And I am now your neighbor. I'm sitting right next to you. And I put my hand and my arm around your shoulder. And I draw you into my sacred heart. And I say to you, don't cry, child. Be at peace. Let me take your hand and let me wipe the tears from your heart. Let me wipe those tears from your heart. Let me love you my way. Let me touch you my way. Your mind is out of the way, and that is what I ask of every friend of mine. I ask every friend, go out of your mind for me. Let go of your mind for me. Once you stop thinking, my love takes over. Once you stop complaining, my love takes over. Once you stop just saying, I can't do it, my love strengthens you. You are my friend. Each of you are my friend. And I am so happy you have opened yourself to me right at this very moment. I love you, friends. I love you with a love that's totally unexplainable. I love you with a love in such a way that you just don't know what I do. That is why I told my friend, ignorance is bliss. And therefore, he's the most blissful person in the world. I want all of you to take time each day and become an airhead for me. Let your mind go blank. And if you have trouble letting it go blank, ask us and we'll help it. And once you are empty of you, you make room for me to fill you with me. I love you, my friends, and I'm laying my hands on you right now, gently, and I'm healing you. Be at peace, dear friends. Be at peace. Well, that's a prayer group.
That was beautiful, Paul.
Wow.
It came from God.
I know.
And once you open your heart, once you open your heart, God will come in. He told me, I've been praying for him to quiet my mind and speak to me for a quarter of a century. Do you realize how old that makes me? Quarter of a century.
I don't even want to think about it.
Yeah, no. Quarter of a century. I go to him every day. I go to him every day and I just simply say, Lord, I know I'm just complaining, but Lord, get me out of the way. And he does. And he lets me be touched by him. That's what happens at prayer groups. Isn't that what happens when you do healing prayer?
Yes, yes. We do it also at the 9 o'clock Mass every Sunday at the end of the Mass. Anybody who wants to come up for individual prayer, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
They do it also at Curie of Ours after regular Masses on Sundays. The 5 p.m. on Saturday and the 9, and I believe the last Mass, maybe the 11. You'd have to look. But they have prayer teams, and they have a line of people coming to them. You guys just started, so you have a few. Now, they've been doing it for several years, and they used to do it at St. Gertrude's when Father Peter was there, but he took, I guess, that over to his new parish. And it doesn't require a priest to pray for anyone. Mm. All it requires is somebody with an open heart. And once you're open, God takes over. I've told the story, as long as we have a few minutes, I told the story of Father Bob McGuire. Father Bob McGuire ran Spirit Life Center for a number of years, and I used to go there every week because that was my prayer group. And they still meet at a church in King's Church in Melville on Sunday nights. In fact, it's the only prayer group active on Sunday nights. If you want another prayer group, there's one there too with wonderful music with John Clancy and Andrea. But Father Bob said to me in his godlike tones, "John, I want you to be part of our healing ministry." And I said, "Well, Father, I don't have any healing gifts." "Yes, you do. Everyone does. You have to." I hope Father Bob never hears me imitating him. You know. "Yes, you do. Yes, you do." And he said, "Sometimes, once you let go, and get out of the way, and let me lead you in praying for healing, what happens is that you will hear a voice inside of you, and that voice is from our Holy Spirit. And you just say whatever that Holy Spirit tells you to say." So I said, "Okay, Father." I didn't believe him. And I said, "Okay, I guess I'll be a nice guy and I'll do what you say there. All right, that's the way it goes." And one Sunday night, after a prayer meeting, a couple comes up to me and they ask me to pray for their daughter who is totally off the wall. And we're praying. There's another partner, Kathy Murray, praying with me. Another partner praying. And I think Kevin also. Another partner praying. And I hear inside of me, "Tell them I'm sending the Archangel Raphael to their daughter." I said, "I'm not going to say that. You got to be kidding. Tell them I'm going to send the Archangel Raphael to them. I'm not going to say that." And finally, very insistent, "Tell them." So I said, "I don't know what this means, but I'm hearing a voice inside me saying that they're sending the Archangel Raphael to your daughter." And they started crying. I said, "Why are you crying?" They said, "You don't know us." And I said, "No, we're from St. Raphael's Parish." Mm-hmm. And it was kind of a confirmation that the Archangel Raphael was there blessing and going to help their daughter. I don't know whatever happened. I really don't. But I know that that's what happens. Doesn't that happen to you, Pat, when you pray with people?
Yes, many, many, many times. Many. I can't even think of one offhand, but many times we'll get a confirmation of the prayer afterwards, and it just it blows you away. And some people I don't remember I pray with either, and they'll come up to me, and they'll say, "Oh, you pray with me for this, and everything's fine now." And I don't even remember them. I really don't. But thank God, thank God. He uses us. We're open vessels. And the biggest thing is to get ourselves out of the way. And when we could do that, anybody could pray over anybody. As long as you get yourself out of the way, and you just try to be open and let the Holy Spirit flow through you.
And you have to be in the state of grace. When you're playing music, Al, how do you select songs? Don't they just kind of pop into your head?
That's right.
That's the Spirit.
And then I have confirmations all the time.
That song was for me. Don't people come up and say, "You were playing that song just for me?" Mm-hmm. That's the Spirit that's at work. Mm-hmm. You know, when two or more are gathered in my name, the Spirit is there. God is there with us.
A lot of times during the prayer group, Al will play something that was just so exact for what was talked about or what was read. It just keys right in. So.
But isn't it something the way God, Jesus, has a way of giving you and reinforcing with some confirmation of some sort almost all the time.
To keep us going.
To keep us going, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it is important. Yes. And I've had people who, I was told that their cancer, they're being healed of it. And then they go away and they get good reports. And then they go back maybe a year or two and it comes back. And I thought I was healed then. I said, well, you were healed then, but you got it again, you know. And hopefully we'll pray and he'll take it away again. You know, healing means a little at a time. We're not miracle workers. We're healer workers, you know, and I think that's important.
But we also, you know, we pray for healing and sometimes it happens and sometimes it doesn't. But we don't really know the fruits of that illness, of that suffering, of that torment that you're going through, the fruits and what's really happening with that. And you may be freeing tons of souls from purgatory.
Yeah. You don't know.
You don't know what the fruits are.
Yeah, and, you know, Pat, you want to add one thing? I thought you were going to say something else.
Well, I was just going to say that no matter how you were raised or if you came from poverty or if you have child abuse or verbal abuse, emotional abuse, whatever it is, it has nothing to do with how God loves you. Because when I was a child, I equated my childhood with, I'm not loved by God because this is not a good childhood. But God loves you no matter what, and he allows you to go through that to make you the person that he wants you to be, as long as we surrender. So all those things that you carry, all those hurts and those rejections and whatever you carry, that pain, has nothing to do with God's love for you. And I want the listeners to know that God loves you more than you could ever, ever imagine. So just try to be open to his love. Open your heart and feel that love so you could share that love with others, because you can't give what you don't have. And for years I've been struggling with that, but the more I allow God's love to enter me, the more I could be forgiving towards others, the more I could reach out and touch others. We have to receive that love so we could give it.
Listeners, you've just experienced the first radio broadcast of a prayer meeting. And if you see, it's a couple of songs, it's scripture, testimony, teaching, prayer for healing, and a closing song. And Al, you got our closing song. We hope you enjoyed us.
Thank you for
Pat,
listening.
Thank you.
Life filled with sin, I won't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord,
I saw the light.
I saw the light.
I saw the light.
No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight.
Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Keep it going.
Just like a blind man, I wandered along. Worries and fears I claimed for my own. Then like a blind man, if God gave back his sight.
Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
I saw the light.
I saw the light.
No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight.
Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Yeah, another verse.
I was a fool to wander and stray. Straight is the gate and narrow the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right.
Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light.
Put your hands down, Tony.
No more in darkness. No more in light. Now I'm
thank
so
you.
Happy.
Al, thank you.
Thank you, you listeners. We love you.
Praise
go to a prayer group. Send
Lord
us your petitions.
I saw the light.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Established path. if you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud?